the greatest rock and roller in the business, Mr. Chuck Berry.
Elvis Presley once asked Paul Simon to go to a concert with him. Who are we going to see? Simon wondered. We're going to see the real king of rock and roll, replied Presley. Chuck Berry. So how was it that Chuck Berry ended up playing in a small field in the village of Ballysadare, County Sligo? Population 853. It happened in August 1981 during the 5th annual Boys of Ballysadare Festival. Organiser Philip Flynn had received a surprise phone call from a concert promoter after another act had let him down.
It was he who said to me, well, this might sound mad, but he said, Chuck Berry's people have been on to me about coming over to do, what would you think? And I thought about it for a few seconds and I said, yeah, if we can do a deal, I think that'll work, you know. I had a moment that I thought about, you know, it was that confusing sort of thing when I got the word Chuck Berry. Well, is it possible? Could we do it? Should we do it? Is it? Feck it, sort of. Let's go for it.
I think I was singing some rock number, wasn't it? One of Chuck Berry's numbers, wasn't it? Johnny B. Good. Can we do Johnny B. Good, man? All right.
When the first Boys of Ballysadare Folk Festival was held 5 years ago, it was something new. The idea caught on and others jumped on the bandwagon. This was the 5th Boys of Ballysadare, and the festival has taken time and competition in its stride. Over 10,000 people came to hear the music. Each festival is unique, and Ballysadare claims its hallmark in its intimacy and atmosphere.
It was regional RTE reporter Tommy Gorman who was on hand to capture the atmosphere and novelty of Chuck Berry coming to Ballysadare, of all places.
What were the biggest headaches of this festival?
Well, I think Chuck Berry was about the biggest headache, because when you have a star of that stature, I mean, there are a hell of a lot of things that go hand in hand with that. And there are various stages in negotiations when you're wondering whether he actually will come and whether you actually have it clinched. And that's a worry right up until the very last minute when he actually puts his foot up on the stage, because when you've told people that he'll be there and he's going to do his job, well, you know, you're worried that something might happen, whatever. I mean, even if it's outside your own control. That and, you know, the toilets and traffic flow and acreage enough to accommodate all the people.
Like, I just remember the huge amount of tents, you know, people swimming in the river in Ballysadare. And it was like Woodstock coming to Sligo, and to be covering it and to see the young people and so many foreigners coming to Sligo as well. It really was a whole new beginning. It was like Sligo in Technicolor. The Flynns gambled and they got Chuck Berry. And, okay, like, Chuck Berry was mega because of his history in, say, rock and roll. And the idea that you'd be having someone like Chuck coming. So then, of course, all the mystery was, in what form would he come? Would there be a band? Would it be a local band? Who'd be playing? What would he be like? The preparations for it. Would he turn up? Or was this bullshit? And of course, when he came, it was electric. Sometimes the anticipation is, you know, the main part of the actual experience. But in Chuck's case, he was as... The performance was every bit as dramatic as the anticipation.
Hey, they must want to see me fall down. I ain't gonna fall. And all these people looking and I fall? No way. Yeah, I'm in Ireland. They even put a sun up here shining down on me. Kind of warm, too.
Fran Breen was a session musician at the time, a well-known drummer, when Philip came a-calling. Chuck needed a pickup band.
I remember was getting a phone call, and I think it was Philip Flynn, and he asked me, he said, Fran, he says, are you doing on such and such a date? And I said, no, I don't think so, you know. So he said, look, I have a gig, you know, and so I said, well, who and where, you know? Well, he said, it's the Balisadair Festival, and it's with Chuck Berry. So I kind of went, Jesus, Chuck Berry, you know what I mean?
And among Chuck Berry's rider list, his personal demands, a specific type of Mercedes car to be provided.
That was a Mercedes 280. It was a very specific model and make. And the reason being, as the agent explained to me, is that that's the car he drives in LA himself. And the trunk, which the Americans call the boot, is the right size for the cases that he'll bring with him. Everything is lined up. He has his luggage to fit into the trunk. And that has to be that car. So that took a bit. I mean, that wasn't an easy logistical task, but we managed to get it. He had to have cash delivered as soon as he came off the plane. The 50% of the fee had to be in cash at the airport before he would go into the city and check into the hotel and come down the next day. I mean, that was, and the other 50% when he arrived before he went on stage was the deal.
And what happened in that Mercedes 280? To and from Balisadair has become the stuff of legend. Tommy Higgins owned a record shop in Sligo at the time and sold tickets for the concert, later going on to form the Ticketmaster empire.
About 10 years after the Balisadair Festival, I ran into his tour manager. The rider would be a Mercedes car and a driver, but Chuck drove. The driver sat in the back, and that had been going on for donkey's years. The tour manager, again, we started talking about the about where I lived, etc., and he even remembered about the Balisadair. Oh, he said it was a nightmare for him. So picked him up from the airport in the car, driver in the back, Chuck driving, and it was in the summertime. He put on the heat in the car right up to the top and the fan. He said that they were sweltering the whole way down to Balisadair. This is before the motorway that went down through Lucan and the big line of traffic down the hill into Lucan, but Chuck overtook all the cars up on the footpath, women pulling prams out of the way. He said it was a nightmare journey. But they did the gig, went back to Dublin, stayed in the old Burlington at the time, and the next morning they were heading to the airport, and up at the top of Leeson Street, he was telling me where, he said they were crossing Leeson Street going over by Stephen's Green. Chuck broke the lights, big commotion, but the Department of Foreign Affairs only about a couple of 50 yards away, and the guard that saw the whole thing happening jumped out on the road, stopped the car. And Chuck wouldn't put down the window. The guard was doing the dance of the seven veils outside, trying to get his attention. Eventually, he put down the window of the car, but looked ahead, wouldn't look at the guard. And the guard asked him, where the hell do you think you're going, you see? And Chuck, classic answer came back, Los Angeles, he said, you know. But it was, so the tour manager jumped out of the car, ran around and talked to the police. He said, look, he said, he is going to Los Angeles. You'll never see him again. Look, don't arrest him. There's too much hassle. And so the guard gave him forgiveness and let him off and went away with it.
Why me believe? Why can't you be true?
McGuire is my name. I live in Ennis. I'm from Limerick originally. What I recall is I was quite excited about seeing Chuck Berry, but you know, it was a gig. Like, it was only when the man came out on the stage, I think everybody there kind of realized, oh my God, you know, this man is like a legend. You know, and I mean that like not the way we use the word these days. You know, he was actually like, you had Elvis, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Chuck Berry. They were rock and roll, you know. And here he was on the stage in Balisadair. It was quite amazing, really, you know. Bizarre. It was brilliant, yeah.
178 originals and 17 covers. And you know, I get up on stage and can't think of one of Chuck Berry's numbers. So I have to bring my representative all the way from Paris to holler, hey, do Carol, do No Money Down. I'd, oh yeah, that's right, I wrote that. Round and Round. Anybody know Round and Round? Here the joint was coming, going round and round. We're reeling and rocking, what a crazy sound. You know they never stopped rocking till the moon went down. Oh, it sounds so sweet.
I would be attracted to Chuck Berry as being an artist, but without Chuck Berry being at that particular event, I would have still attended it. But it was a bonus to be able to say, you know, I had an opportunity and I saw Chuck Berry live, especially in Ireland, to see him. That was a great thing, to be able to see Chuck Berry live in concert. And he was backed by Irish musicians as well to make it better again.
Mick Coakley from Dublin was in the crowd that day, and his is the only known recording of the Chuck Berry performance, which he has now made available publicly, and which still stands the sound test of time.
Oh, that was on a cassette. Yeah, I did it on a Sony Walkman cassette. I tend to avoid a few loud or noisy people in the audience, and I would steer myself towards the speakers, but not get too close in case the sound became muffled and too loud. So I compromised between going close to the speakers rather than the stage, you know, like center stage wouldn't be any use, but I used to go near the speakers and make sure it wasn't muffled or anything.
But into each life, anyways, some rain does fall, and it causes us to be melancholy. And when I say melancholy, that's the dignified word. What I really mean is blue. Everybody has had the blues.
Rehearsals for playing with Chuck Berry? Nah.
I thought, well, we're going to have a little meet up in the, you know, maybe in the caravan or in the mobile home or wherever, just to kind of talk through what Chuck is going to do. And there was nothing like that at all, you know. So we were kind of like wondering, what the hell is going on? So his tour manager came over to us and he said, okay, this is what Chuck is going to do. If he sticks his leg outwards, that means stop. And if he starts stamping his foot down, up and down, that means tempo. So we kind of said, oh, okay, you know, like, so I think we gathered ourselves, you know, I think we, you know, we got our stuff all together and we started, I think we played a tune or something just to kind of get the sound together and stuff like that.
Had a pickup band everywhere he went, so we had a great band here in Sligo, the best musicians out of Dublin. But I remember one heard the story one time, somebody, one of those guitarists, said, when are we going to rehearse, Chuck? And Chuck came up with a classic. He said, son, he said, if you don't know my tunes, you shouldn't be playing the guitar.
There he arrived, Mr. Chuck Berry, you know, canary yellow trousers, lovely big flowered shirt. And, we kind of just, at that point, I think we just kind of looked at each other and just, he counted it in and off we went. You know, we hung on to dear life. And then it was an instance where Mr. Chuck, he looked at me and he started doing all this syncopation stuff with his guitar. You know, so I thought, well, I suppose I better get on this, you know. Now, the only thing is, he's staring at me. I'm looking at him, and in my mind, I'm going, I'm looking into the eyes of a legend here, you know. Of course, at that point, I'm not thinking where I am in this kind of little interlude here, you know. And I thought, oh, shit, you know, I'm not sure where the downbeat is coming down, the first beat of the bar. But as it turns out, we landed square on the first beat of the bar. It was kind of like, heads weren't going to roll, let's put it that way. At least mine wasn't, you know what I mean? So that's how we kind of got involved.
Was Lillian O'Neill at one stage, but I'm Lillian Scanlon now. Ballisadair now is down the road, and my dad came from Ballisadair. I remember somebody saying, you'll make Chuck Berry, so we got up there. We got free into the place. What I do remember mostly was Sweet Little 16 and Roll Over Beethoven. We weren't that familiar with what he looked like. And when you get there and you're looking and you're sort of saying, God, this is an old boy. You know, he looked older than he was, but it was hilarious too to see, you know, you had Hare Krishnas and you had all of these, the pioneers, and them trying to get us all to join the pioneers, and sure, we were in for anything and everything, which was great crack.
Everybody wants to dance with.
I just remember there was an element of, is this really Santa Claus? Is this really happening? Is Chuck Berry in a field in County Sligo with the makeshift band that were drop dead good? Like, they really got into it. So I suppose in Chuck's case, he had played at events like this, you know, making money, you know, paying the bills in all sorts of places that he'd quickly forget. Sligo may well have been one of them, but for the audience, it was memorable. And what struck me about it was the fact that it was happening. But two, the quality of the music. The music was, you were just very aware that you were in the presence of just absolute high quality stuff that you might hear on a record player or on a radio station, but here it was taking place in a field.
I'll tell you the things that I remember most about it. One is that thing of just being struck by who this man was that was now in front of us, you know. Of course, he seemed very old to us as well, but he was only in his 50s, you know. But it seemed old. But he was full of energy. And I think one of the most interesting things about it for me was Chuck toured on his own. He didn't tour with a band. So wherever he played, the organisers had to arrange a pick-up band, you know. And because the festival was on, Steve Cooney was there. He was bass player with Stockton's Wing. And Fran Breen and James Delaney, drummer and keyboards player, respectively, they were there with Paul Brady. Paul Brady had just gone electric with his electric band, and Fran Breen and James Delaney were in that band. And they were absolutely fantastic. And the thing I remember most about that whole gig was Chuck doing one of his songs, nodding over to James Delaney to do a keyboard solo, and Delaney just destroyed the keyboard. Absolutely unbelievable. And you could see, I mean, I was up close, you know, I could see everything. And you could see Chuck kind of turning around and looking at this guy, and you could see his mind working. Who the hell is this guy? James Delaney was unbelievable, you know. Chuck loved him. He got him to do solos on nearly every song after that, you know. It was quite amazing, really. But one of my great memories in all my life of going to music is that memory.
Let's hear a little bit more of that piano. Let him get proud. Yeah, that tastes good. That really tastes good. We're going to give him a whole course. Come on in that baby close.
You know, we were playing a couple of tunes, and Chuck, in one tune, he took a look. He looked at James Delaney, as if to say, okay, Mr. Delaney, off you go, show us what you can do, you know what I mean? So, well, James is not afraid of anything, you know, he'll jump in there. And I have to say, all fingers were blazing, you know, at Chuck. James took a solo and he floored. Chuck just kind of looked at him and kind of went, well, that's all right, I like this, you know.
Here's a cute one, about 22 years old, but it serves today. Listen to it. It's about two guys that tried to talk to two chicks. It is rock and roll, mother. two dudes tried to pick up two chicks. Anyway, here it goes. Anyway. Last night we had a party.
My name is actually Jacqueline Lee. Yeah, I grew up in Ballastadere, went to school in Ballastadere. I moved to Chicago in 1990, and I'm here since. I can see his car. I think it was a big red car parked by the side of the tent. And, just to hear from my parents, like, how big this man was, you know, did I understand until maybe later years what the thing it was to have Chuck Berry at this concert, you know, and he got great attention. He got great service as well in a few different ways. But there always seemed to be companions in the car with him. But just to see the car come in and the car leave, I don't know that we noticed any other gigs being brought in the way he was brought in. And then just to be on stage and see this man performing, oh my God, it's unreal.
Ramblin' Rose, Ramblin' Rose.
Chuck Berry played the field in Ballastadere for 50 minutes. The 50 minutes included an encore, but only after being coaxed to play on while sitting in his Mercedes 280.
We gotta go now. Yeah, we gotta go now. Gotta close our show now. Can't play no more now.
At the end of the show, he went off the stage. Yeah, you know what the crowd would call, more, 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 more. You know what I mean? Kind of like, he kind of sat in the car for a minute and there was a little sweetness, should I say, was kind of handed in, you know, a little bit of extra lolly, so to speak, you know, a little bit. And he came back and he did encores. And I, you know, my impression was is that he did really enjoy the gig and the audience participation, you know what I mean?
And promoter brothers, Philip and Kevin Flynn, did get to engage with Chuck afterwards.
We did. But it was brief. It was very brief. There was no slapping on, you know, slapping on the back or any of that sort of stuff. No, we met him before and after. And he was around. He stayed around for a few hours. He didn't get into the car and go home. He hung around. He took in the, you know, the scene. And then he drove back to Dublin.
While we were up there, we did hear a whisper that he had said it was mostly for the people working in the pubs and working in the area. If they wanted to come back to an after party, I'd say half Cluny was below in the hotel. He was more involved with the young single people, you know, single women and whatever else. And sure, that's what he was. And I wasn't young, free nor single.
Oh, I just wish I had that accent. I had to put... What I sound like to you is what they sound like to me, and they go, what y'all gonna do?
I mean, it was a business class flight from LA direct to Dublin. He stayed overnight in Dublin the first night and then drove down to Ballastadere. It was on a Sunday, so he drove down and the concert was on in late afternoon. So he was able to drive down and actually drive back to the Burlington. So there was two nights in the Burlington, and he flew back out again on the Monday. He got one across on us in that as part of the contract, and I kicked up about it at the time with the agent. But there was two business class tickets, and I said, "What's this two?" He brings his daughter with him, you know, was the story, and we were left with so we paid for the two business class tickets. His daughter never came, but in those days, you could cash in a ticket, which is exactly what he did, you know. So he put one over on us, you know, and he's legendary for that sort of thing, you know.
Everybody repeat after me.
He didn't play in Ireland all that much, you know, in his time. So he was quite a coup to get. And I mean, the amount of people who came on the train just for his concert that day, didn't come for the festival, they just came down on the train to Chuck's concert and went home on the train that evening. There was thousands. And in fairness to Chuck, as they say in the business, he washed his face. I mean, he charged a lot, but actually, you know, there wasn't much profit on him, you know, no surplus, but he actually covered, you know, he covered his expenses.
A dreadful dream, my friend would tell. I dreamt I died and walked in hell. And there upon the topmost landing, some prime Killooney boys were standing. Gazing round, I wondered where dwelt the bucks from Ballysadare. Musing thus, I scanned each face, and from within that dreadful place, prisoners of every nationality, therein confined for their rascality. My quest was vain, they were not there, the rowdy rakes from Ballysadare.
You know, I think that's the only good thing I ever learned to do. Till I come back here to Ireland, bye-bye and good luck to you.
The boys of Ballysadare Festival, which provided inspiration for all Irish music festivals to follow, including Liston Varna, ceased to be the following year. The N4 road bypass means that not as much traffic passes that little field on the corner of Ballysadare village anymore, with the Ballysadare River on one side and the Tatch pub on the other, where the real king of rock and roll strutted his stuff and duck walked his way into local history.
The car was the biggest thing, because never see such a fine car wherever that had come from. And then, you know, this African-American man stepping out on the stage and along the river in Ballysadare. It was very memorable. It was quite the event.
I loved Ballysadare. Very special atmosphere, a really warm, friendly atmosphere, you know, and everybody was in there together, kind of, you know. It was all about the music. There was plenty of drinking and other stuff went on, I'm sure. But it really was about the music, and that's why people were there. And it was a beautiful festival, really.
Go.
Ballysadare and Chuck Berry, maybe that was just a time where it just pushed out the boat, you know, to an extraordinary level.
Hey, we were relief was the main feeling that we had pulled it off, and that it had gone off without a hiccup. I mean, over the years then it's taken on almost mythical status, you know, but when you're in the middle of it, you just want to do it and do it right, and it's only afterwards that you can sort of sit back and look at it and think, geez, you know, that was something else, you know, that was something else.